We're learning a Maimer by the Rebbe. This is Tovshin Chovvav, 1956. The Rebbe is explaining the continuation, so to speak, from Yom Kippur into Sukkot, from the Day of Atonement into Hatz Day, whatever, Holiday of Hatz, or whatever the name is, doesn't matter. And we basically explained that in Yom Kippur there's a revelation of 13 attributes of mercy. That actually start in Elul, start way before Yom Kippur, but whatever, the climax, so to speak, is Yom Kippur. And that revelation actually expresses itself in Sukkos, in the roof of the Sukkah, in the roof of this hut that we use in Sukkos. And all of that remains in a way of Makif. That's the word used in Hasidus so many times. Makif means something transcendent. Just like the roof, it's on top of you, it's not on inside of you, it's on top, it surrounds you, etc. And we finished basically by the end of page 65, the last paragraph of what would be chapter 2, after you have all the projections of those transcendent levels on sukkahs, etc. So then you can now start bringing the 70 bulls as offerings that, as we explained before, and we're going to explain this more deeply, they are, each one of the 70 bulls represents one of the 70 nations. So let's go for chapter 3. Now. However, Tzarich Le'aktim, in order to understand why, now that we have that projection of transcendent level, whatever, the 13 attributes of mercy, now we can offer those offerings. Why now? What's the difference? In order to understand this, Tzarich Le'aktim Tchila Mau Inyan Akravas Shevim Parim Keneged Shevim Umos HaOlam. We have to understand what's this whole thing of offering 70 bulls for the 70 nations of the world in the festivity, in the holiday of Sukkos, specifically in Sukkos. Why not in Shavuos? Why not somewhere else? Okay, the Isa of Midrash Rabba, as the Midrash brings, Shezehu kemashal hamelech sheasa seuda shivas yamim, This is just like the example of a king, that he made a whole meal 7 days, v'zimen kol bnei adam shebemedina, and he invited every single human being in his country. It's an example. There's a king, there's people that are subject to this king, and they got invited into this holiday, into this festivity. Dekai al shivim asarim. These people in the country refers, as the Midrash says, the 70 ministers. And the Rebbe puts into parentheses, Shel Shivim Umoisa Oilam. These angels, actually they are angels, they represent each one of the 70 nations. Even though today we don't know exactly which angel is in which nation, and it doesn't go by countries. Like Spain and France, no, forget it. It doesn't go like that. But whatever, today we have all kinds of people mixed in different countries. But these angels continue being over there. These angels are invited into this meal. Apparently, what the Midrash says, that who is actually invited into this meal of Sukkos? The 70 nations, through their like angels that represent it, but whatever the case is, 70 nations are invited into Sukkos. Okay, that's fine, that's a Midrash. But it doesn't fit with the Zohar. The Zohar Kabbalah says that there are ushpizin, means also guests, Elohim, very high guests in the festivity of Sukkos. Who are these guests? The Zohar explains, Shem Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David. These are the forefathers, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, whatever, all these people, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David, or there's another version, Keseret, Tzoyzom, Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, it doesn't really matter whatever the order is, there's an argument about this, but the point is that the Rebbe is actually posing a question over here. According to the Midrash, who is invited into the meal of the king in Sukkos? 70 nations. According to the Zohar, no. We're talking about 7 great people, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, etc. 2 different ideas. And the third Rebbe of Chabad, who was called Tzemach Tzedek because of a book that he wrote that was called Tzemach Tzedek, Shashana Yi Shna Samea Listalkos Ayilula Sheloi, that this year, that means 1966, is 100 years from the moment that he passed away. Be'echad Mimamarav, he explains in one of his discourses, Shenim Tzavet Fuz, that is actually in print. This addition of the Rebbe, we have to understand, like, in those days, in the 60s, not all of the same books that we have in print were actually in print. So there were many, many books that were not printed because of lack of money or lack of checking the book, etc. So whatever, the Rebbe is saying, one of the discourses of the Tzemach Tzedek, he brings over there, Shekvar irgish bazeh ramaz parshas emor, v'zehu leshoina, that the ramaz, Rav Moshe Zakuto, Moshe Zakut, he was an Italian rabbi, Kabbalistic, very, very quoted, a lot in Chabad writings. The Alter Rebbe quotes him, Tzemach Tzedek quotes him. He followed the school of thought within Kabbalah of the Arizal. But he was a great, great Kabbalistic rabbi, whatever. So the Ramaz already found this question that we're posing over here. It's not that the Rebbe came up with this question, between the difference between the Midrash and the Zohar. And this is what he wrote. Bezeu leshoina, Zayin lamed zeu leshoina. This is what the Ramaz wrote. Behaskel heite. Think of this very well, says the Ramaz. She'eina mashala nizkar kan doime leshel chazal. The example being mentioned over here, that means in the Zohar, is not the same one mentioned in the works of our sages in the Midrash. The Ramaz is saying the same question, basically. Though over there in the Midrash, the ones that are actually eating, called Shivas Yamim, Hem Shivim Umbois. All the 7 days of Sukkos are the 70 nations. Those, they are eating over there, whatever. Bekan, and over here in the Zohar, Haushpizim and Shiva Tzadikim, Mechule. The guests are 7 great righteous people, etc. This is what the Ramaz mentions. Umasik Tzemach Tzedek, and the third Rebbe of Chabad, quoting the Ramaz, you see, this is an old question, so to speak, and he ends up saying, Shebevadai Shedivrei Shneim Emes. Of course, both are right. It's not that the Midrash is actually arguing with the Zohar, someone is right and someone is wrong. No. Both are true. Shemazminim Atzadikim Anal, Shema Ovis Moshe V'Aron Mechulei, the guests in the holiday of Sukkot are actually these 7 great righteous people, the forefathers, Moshe, Aaron, etc. Vegama soyadimem shivim sarim, and also the ones that are eating are the 70 ministers. Vimken, being so, tzrichim lehovin, we have to understand, eich yavo yushnei avechines eilu yachad. How go these 2 levels together? So the Rebbe, what did the Rebbe do? He posed a question. There are differences between the Midrash and the Zohar, but you know what? I found in the discourse of a previous Rebbe that actually these 2 things happen at the same time. They go together. Okay, how does it work? Dalit, 4th chapter. The idea over here is like this. Okay. It is known that the source of the 70 ministers, which of course represent the 70 nations, which of course represent every single non-Jew in the world, where did they come from? There's a level, there's a specific Kabbalistic level called 7 kings. 7 kadmoin means from old, so to speak, of the world of Toyu. What does that mean? Okay. The basic idea behind this is, if you look at Parshas Vayishlach, at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, the Torah actually says that there were 7 kings that reigned over Edom before there was a king in the Jewish people, within the Jewish people. That the first king was Shaul HaMelech, etc. The whole story doesn't matter right now. But over there are 7 kings. Hadar, whatever, different names. These people, these kings, represent actually 7 spiritual levels that are the source of all the non-Jews, basically. Spiritual source of all the non-Jews. This level is called Shiva Malchin, it's in Aramaic, 7 kings, Kadmoin, seven old kings, the Toyu. What does that mean, Toyu? We could actually spend hours just talking about what Toyu is and what Tikkun is. It's not the point over here, but it's important to understand at least a few ideas what Toyu means. Toyu, it's in the beginning of Parshas Bereishis. The world was disordered, Toyu. Then it says Toyu Vavoyu, disorder, there was nothing in it, empty, whatever. Whatever translation you want to use. But what does it represent in a mystical sense? Toyu means disorder. What's disorder? Disorder happens when you have something that when it, I'll give an example in a second. I'm being ambiguous on purpose. When something that could have a meaning, somehow, because we don't have an order, so we don't understand the meaning. So put the word hello in English, whatever. Hello, H-E-L-L-O. Hello means hello, okay, I'm here. Toyu means you have the same letters, but in a different order. Lo, he, or whatever, put the order you want, whatever order you want, you have the letters, but they're not properly ordered. So you don't know what it's saying. The concept, the saying hello, the salute, whatever, just went away. Because you have the letters, but they're not properly ordered. That means Toyu. That's one idea. There are others, but that's one idea of what Toyu means. So there is energy, there are kelim, so to speak, there are vessels, which are the letters. It could contain a clear and very simple idea, a salute, hello. It could, but it doesn't. Why? Because the order is wrong. It's disorder. So that's one idea of Toyu. So there are seven melachim, seven kings of this world of Toyu, Shemeisu, that they passed away. If you look at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, you will see each one of these kings passes away, and there's a new king, and then he passes away, and there's a new king, and so on. When did they, quote-unquote, pass away? Bishviras HaKelim. Again, this is a very long, complex Kabbalah concept. Shviras HaKelim is the breaking of the vessels. What does that mean, breaking of the vessels? Again, take the word hello. It's ordered. It carries a concept. When you break the order of the letters, the concept just goes away. You don't get it. You have the letters, but you don't get it. You don't understand it because it's out of order. That's what it means. In our case, Shviras HaKelim, the breaking of these vessels. Venaflu lemata bebia. And all these levels, all these things that were carried, the energy of each letter, I'll explain in a second, it fell down in another three words that don't really matter right now. Bria, Yetzira, Yasiya, three spiritual worlds. What does that mean? Again, you have the letters. And those letters, when you add up the letters, the energy of each letter in the proper order, they carry a concept. Hello, a salute. Okay, fine. But when you have the same letters out of order, it's not that you don't have the letters. You have the energy of each letter, but it, quote unquote, fell down. You don't get the concept. So you have separate letters that you just look at them and say, doesn't mean anything. I don't see anything over here. That's what it means, naflu lemata bebia. This concept that they were carrying just fell away. And it went away, I'm sorry, went away. The concept didn't fall. The concept just went up, actually. But the letters just fell away, fell down. As it's written, again, this is Parshas Vayishlach, Ve'ilam melachim ve'goimer, these are the kings, etc. He doesn't quote the whole thing. Va'im loich, and he reigned, etc. Va'yomos, and he passed away, etc. Umehen, and from these quote-unquote letters, kings, or whatever, that broke, quote-unquote, and fell down, nisavu lemata shiva midis rois denoiga, the asiya, ruvoi rachule. From these levels were created. They nisavu lemata, were created down here in these physical worlds. Seven attributes, bad attributes of noiga. What does that mean? Noiga means brilliance. Brilliance means has the capacity, the power of being good, and has the capacity of being not good. on this particular world called Asiya, which is a physical world, which in itself is Ruboira. Most of it is bad. Etc. etc. Go look in Kabbalah and go learn somewhere else the idea. What is he talking about? What is he saying? You look at this world and you see disorder and you see problems and you see difficulties and you see lots of people trying to kill the Jews. And basically, in very, very vaague terms, it's Ruboira. Most of it is bad. Are there good things? Yes, of course, it's full of good things. But Ruboira, most of it is bad. Most of it. Why is it possible? Because again, the high energy that these seven kings or whatever they had, they just lost the order, got broken, quote unquote, and fell down. And gives room for bad things. Uvahem, and within them, nivla bechinas atoiv de sitra de kedusha chule. A very interesting phrase. Within them is nivla, means when it's inside, when something is inside, like when you have a sponge and you just absorb. Oh, that's the word. Absorbed within them, within those levels, the good part from the good side. Sitra de kedusha means the side of holiness. So what is it saying? Is this world void, empty of holiness? No, you didn't get it. No. This world is full of holiness, true holiness, sitra de kedusha, the good side. But, however, it's absorbed within the world and we don't see it. Just like a sponge absorbs water and you don't see it. You can say, there's no water over here. Wait a second, within the sponge you just press it and you will get the water. V'alzenemar, on this it's written, this is a verse in Yirmiyahu. V'yitzeisies beloi mipif. I will take out whatever is absorbed in his mouth. Like when a person has the mouth shut, you don't know if he has something in the mouth, inside the mouth. I know that means lehoitzies kol bechinas nitzeitze kedusha shebol v'chitzoinim. That means to take out all the sparks of holiness that were absorbed by the, quote, translation, chitzen means the externals. That means the bad things in the world that we spoke about before. These letters that lost the concept, but they have some energy within them that they felt. The idea of the letters is just an example of how to understand this Kabbalistic concept of Shviras HaKelim. It's just an example. There are no letters going around and flying in the world. No. It's just an example to understand an idea. That's all. And all the quote-unquote bad energy around the world is called chitzoinim and has absorbed inside a good part. So we have to take something that doesn't look so good and take out the good energy out of that. Kemo shekosov, as it's written, chayil bo lavi akienu. Is another verse in Eoif. There's power absorbed. It has to be vomited, so to speak. It has to be taken out. Okay. Ukenegdam yesh gam bekedusha shivim nefesh de Yaakov. Don't think this is just a concept in the opposite to holiness, in bad things. No. In holiness, you have exactly the same thing. You have 70 souls of Yaakov. The source of the souls, 70 souls of Yaakov, their source is seven qualities, seven attributes of holiness. Why do you say 70 if it's only seven qualities? Because each one of these attributes, these qualities, is actually composed of 10 levels. Okay, so you have 10 plus times 7 is 70. ועל ידי נשמות ישראל שנכללים בשבעים נפש די יעקב מסברים ומסלים ניצוצות הקדושה שנפלו בשבעים אומות העולם ובשבעים עשרה. And through the souls of the Jewish people that are included in these 70 souls of Yaakov get refined, misbarim, get refined and elevated the sparks of holiness that fell down in the 70 nations and the 70 ministers. Sheshorsham Ishiva Malchin Kadmai in the Toyu Canal. that their source comes from the seven kings of old of the world of Toyu, as mentioned before. So what happened over here? What happens is like this. You have 70 levels of Kedusha, of holiness. Then you have, parallel to that, 70 levels of unholiness. However, this unholiness has in it, inside of it, a spark of Kedusha, of holiness. And the work of the Jewish people, through Torah, mitzvahs, etc., is to take the good part of the unholy things and elevate it into Kedusha, into holiness. וזהו גם מה שמשך הזמן הקוצוב להוויד את הבירורים על ידי נשמס כל איש ישראל ושבעים שנה. And this is also the reason why, when you look at the Psalm says that a person lives 70 years, 70, 80, whatever, 70 years. Why 70? Why not 72? Whatever. Because that's the reason why the time given, fixed, for the work of refinement through the soul of each Jew is 70 years. Because you have to refine 70 levels. כמו שקוראים, you mentioned it's about 70 years, as it's written in the Psalm. The days of our years, whatever, our time of living is 70 years. כיוון שכל עניינים שבנפש ובעולם הם גם בזמן שנה. Because every single thing that is found in spiritual soul and in the physical world is also found in time. 70 years, 70 levels of Kedusha you have to refine. Now, with this like structural thing, now we're going to understand something, well, actually, we wanted to understand the 70 bulls offered. Now we're going to understand the offering of the 70 bulls, parallel, or they correspond to the 70 ministers in the holiday of Sukkos. This is in order to take out of them the sparks of holiness, etc. That interesting, this doesn't mean, the Rebbe, I think, is going to say it later, but this doesn't mean you take out the good part and just throw the bad part, that's it, you're dead. No. It means elevating. And the Rebbe said this many times. Mevarim umailim, misalim. You refine and you elevate. Velochem. Now, therefore, arei zena sevechag haSukkos davka. That's why it has to be done in Sukkos. Why? Why Sukkos and why not Shavuos? Because Sukkos comes, as we explained in the previous class, after the forgiveness of the sins in Yom Kippur, in the Day of Atonement. Because the refinement of the good part that was absorbed in the 70 ministers cannot be done all the time that still were not forgiven the sins of the Jewish people. First has to be a refinement in the Jewish people, and then the Jewish people can go and refine the rest of the world. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Because through the sins of the Jewish people, there was a energy, when yenika means nutrition, like, I don't know the exact English word, but whatever, I think it's understood. Through the sins of the Jewish people, there is a nutrition of good things from the Jewish people into the chitzoinim, into the other side, so to speak, the bad side. There's an additional power in the other side, in the bad side, so to speak, more than that which was fixed for them, because from the level of the change of worlds, etc., according to the measurement. What is the Rebbe saying? God creates everything, of course, no doubt. Even the what we say it's bad, it's created by God with a purpose. What's the purpose? For us to have Bechira Chofshis, we can choose, we have free will to say we're going to do good and not bad, so there has to be bad. Okay, very nice. But there's a fixed amount of energy that God gives to the bad. in order to exist, in order to give the person the possibility of choosing, etc., etc. Very nice. But when a person does something bad, he adds energy more than what God actually fixed into the bad side, so to speak. So you have to be forgiven. The sins have to be forgiven in order for the person to be able to refine the bad and not get absorbed by the bad, actually. Because there still, before the forgiveness of Yom Kippur, there's still a mixture of good and bad. And only after the sins were forgiven in Yom Kippur, and the Jewish people were elevated. Nisraimemu and Nisalu is two words that mean basically the same. Get elevated. Be really high without any mixture of bad at all. And the Rebbe says, klal uklal, like at all, at all. As I only after that, yecholim levar meshiv and sarim, you can refine the 70 ministers, as bechinas atov shvayim, the good part out of them. Ve'al derech maimar azal, just like our sages say, k'sheita atzmecho, v'achar kach k'sheita achirim. First, make yourself beautiful, and then you can beautify somebody else. Okay, so now we understand why Sukkos is the holiday in which we offer something on behalf of the other nations. Because now that we were forgiven by Yom Kippur, you can actually take the good part out of the other nations and elevate it. Ach, however, adain tzarich leovin seder hakrav shivim parim v'chag ha-sukkos. We still have to understand this whole thing of offering 70 bulls in the holiday of Sukkos. The first day you actually offer 13 bulls. And the second day you offer actually 12 bulls. And this way you go and reduce every single day of Sukkos to the point that you get to the seventh day of Sukkos, and we offer only 7 bulls to make throughout the whole 7 days, 70 bulls. Why going down? There's a rule in Judaism, Ma'ilim Bakoidish. You always go up in sanctity, and here you're going down. Why? The idea behind this is like this. The Hine. Now, Hashem shebekedusha yishnam yugimel midas rachem shelemaila mechokma, just as in kedusha, in sanctity. There are 13 attributes of mercy that are way beyond Chokhme, wisdom, that means beyond what would really have to be. Shem, Oiris, Makifin, Kanal Seif Beis, that these represent transcendent lights. As we explained before, Kemoiken, Yeshkenek dam belum azeh yugimel midas shelemay lemaseicha. In parallel to this, there's also in the other side, like in a bad side, 13 qualities or 13 attributes that are beyond intellect. These are the transcendent levels of impurity. In other words, we're going to continue in a second, but there's something called intellect. A rational, normal person acts in a way, in a specific way that a human being usually should act according to intellect. That's fine. Then you have beyond intellect. What's beyond intellect? You go way beyond what you should do, and you do even more. Your intellect says, go up to here. And you say, I'm going to give you more. But then there's below intellect. Below intellect means, on the other side completely, not only you do bad, you really do bad that is so beyond the intellect. Like, no, doesn't make any sense. It's not just the person goes and steals a bank. He wants to rob a bank because he wants a lot of money. I'm going to kill everybody over here. You didn't need to kill everybody. Just rob the bank. No. I'm going to kill everybody, and then I'm going to take the money. Why did you do that? I don't know. Doesn't make sense. You want the money. Just get the money, and no. I'm going to kill you. And this is happening in Argentina right now. Like, life doesn't have any value. They just kill you for a cell phone. Just take the cell phone and go. No, I'm going to kill you. What for? You took the cell phone. Just go. That's makif in the klipa. Doesn't make sense. Yeah, it's beyond the intellect, for the bat. I mean, yeah. Vezehu shemakirim bayom rishon yigimel parim. That's why we offer in the first day of Sukkot 13 bulls. Kedei levarer es yigimel amidus shelemayle masechel. Because we want to refine 13 attributes that are beyond intellect. But in a bad sense, makivin the klipa, these 13 attributes that go beyond the intellect, in a bad sight, the transcendent levels of impurity. And bring them up, elevate them in the 13 qualities, high qualities, etc., of kedusha, of sanctity. After you did that, makrivim b'yom ha'shvi'i shiva parim. In the seventh day of Sukkot, you reach the number of 7 bulls. Kedei levarer shiva midos deklipa sheneladim b'chochma. In order to refine the 7 levels, 7 attributes of klipa that are born from the chochma of klipa, from the wisdom of impurity. So the Rebbe did not touch on the middle levels, and I have no idea what they mean at all. I don't know. But the Rebbe touched the first level and the last level. The first level means something that is makif, is beyond. Just as in kedush, in sanctity, you have something beyond intellect, in klipa, in impurity, you also have something beyond intellect. Okay, we have to refine that. How do you refine that? Because you offer 13 bulls. But then, in just as in kedush, in sanctity, you have what is beyond intellect, suppose, just an example, will, the will of a person, and according to the will, the person develops in his mind ideas on how to actually accomplish that will. In klipa, in impurity, you have exactly the same thing. So once you refined the makif, the transcendent level of klipa with the 13 attributes of mercy, etc., then you refine the 13 bulls, etc., now you have to refine the emotions, create it from the intellect, create it from the will of klipa. So you have will, intellect, emotions. And in a good way and in a bad way. Okay, so you have to refine each one of these levels. In the last day of Sukkot, you refine the emotions, bad emotions created from bad will that was already refined in the first day of Sukkot. And as we explained before, all of this comes only after the atonement of Yom Kippur. When each one of the Jews becomes wanted and appreciated by God, etc. He's quoting from the Igeres HaTshuva, whatever, repentance, Yom Kippur. And therefore, that's why he has the strength and the possibility of affecting a refinement in the 70 ministers, that from them are projected 70 nations in the world. That we actually offer 70 bulls in Chag HaSukkos for them. Starting from the 13 bulls, that through them there's a refinement of the transcendent level of impurity, at the Shiva Parim Shali Adam Nase Birul Shiva Midas the Klipa, to the point of the last day of Sukkot, 7 bulls to refine the 7 emotional attributes of impurity. Okay, so what did we got in this paragraph? The Rebbe explained, so to speak, the structure of why 13, and then to the end we got 7, because there's a whole structure in Kedusha, in sanctity, there's a whole structure in Klipa, in impurity. And they're actually parallel. So that's why we need a procedure, so to speak, in Kedusha, in order to refine the same thing in Klipa, in impurity. Through this we can explain 2 ideas in Sukkot. Shekoshurim shivim umoisa oilam. The 2 ideas are the Midrash and the Zohar. We started the paragraph, so to speak, asking, wait a second, the Midrash says one thing, the Zohar says another thing, what's going on over here? And the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Rebbe Chabad, says everything is the same. What do you mean the same? It's not the same. Okay, now we can understand these two ideas. Shekoshurim shivim umoisa oilam. on one hand, Sukhois is tied, is connected to the 70 nations of the world. Chicken egg, don't make it even parim, that we actually offer 70 bulls for them, for the benefit. That's on one side. That's the Midrash. And on the other side, like the Zohar says, Sukhois is tied, is connected to the forefathers of the Jewish people, the guests, etc., etc. Why this connection? Because also, the Rebbe doesn't explain the whole thing, but it's very nice, very interesting, in order to think, I don't know. Because also the guests, the holy, so to speak, guests, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they're also connected to the refinement of the nations of the world. Don't come and say, this is just for the Jewish people. Forget it. Non-Jews, nothing to do. Abraham is for Jews and Yitzchak is for Jews. No. Wait a second. There's a connection over here. It's not so simple. There's a connection. How do you know there's a connection? Where do you got this from? Kemosh Pizah Rishon. The Rebbe only explains one. Like the first guest, holy guest for the Jewish people, etc. Abraham Avinu, Abraham, our forefather for the Jewish people. Nothing to do with non-Jews. Wait a second. What's the avoida? What was the work of Abraham? Shegir arbe anashim. Abraham converted to monotheism or whatever he had in his times. Lots of people. And he worked in having guests. Even Arabim, which would mean people, pagan people, not necessarily Arabs. There wasn't such a thing as Arabs in those days. But whatever, pagans, idolaters, he brought them in. Come in, I'm going to explain to you there's one God, etc., etc. The Rebbe doesn't explain, but he says it. The same thing happens and has a relationship with all of the guests that the Jewish people have in Sukkos. This phrase is fantastic. They, those seven holy Jewish guests, etc., etc., they refined the refinement of the 70 nations, all the nations of the world, in a way that they should be included into godliness, etc. Again, the Rebbe doesn't explain how. And I don't know. I'm not going to say things out of whatever, my mind. Who am I? But it's clear that there's a connection. And this is a very interesting idea. There's a concept called Midrashes Chalukos. In the Midrash, you have all kinds of ideas and explanations, etc., etc. And sometimes they just don't go together. And you have to go and say, look, these two Midrashim are arguing. I'm sorry. Either Moshe Rabbeinu was like 3 feet tall or 3 buildings tall, I don't know, one way or the other, I don't know. But then there's the main one that actually works so much on this is the Shalom, Shnei Luchos HaBris, by Rabbi Shaya Horvitz. It's an amazing book. He goes to the last drop of whatever, and he explains, look, this Midrash is not actually arguing with this other one. They're actually saying the same thing, or just two perspectives, etc., etc. This is what the Rebbe is doing here. Based on the Tzemach Tzedek, on the third Rebbe Chabad, he's not saying, look, 70 nations have nothing to do with 7 guests. Don't connect, don't mix in things. No, they're actually the same thing. Through the 7 guests of Sukkos, you actually refine the 70 nations. The Rebbe says this very clearly. Now, last chapter. Vezehu Halleluah Hashem Kol Goyim. That's what it means. Praise God, all the nations, etc. The whole verse. The Kiv and Shalidei Akravas Hashivim Parim Nase Birure Tzelumos Oilom. Because in Sukkos, through the offering of 70 bulls, there was a refinement in the nations of the world. Lachen Hem Mehalenim Meshavkum Hashem. That's why they also praise God. And see, in here, you see clearly what I mentioned before. We're not saying, look, take the good part out of the non-Jews and just throw them away. Anyway, I just took the good part of it. Give me your money and you, whatever, I don't care about you. No. What's the objective over here? they should also pray, praise God. If you just throw them away, what are they going to praise? Nothing. You used me. You took everything from me, and what's for me? What's in for me? Nothing. You're a goy. Just get out of here. No. They also should praise God. And this is the Tehillim. I mean, you can't just say, the Hasidic rabbi has weird ideas. It's a psalm. What are you saying? Why would they praise God? Because there was an elevation, a refinement and elevation on them. There are two ways, nothing to do with this discourse, nothing to do, but I think it's important to understand how the Rebbe is actually going on one side, and there is another side. The other side is, there are two ways of refinement. One way is destroy, like bad things you have to destroy. No refinement over here, just get rid of it. And then there's refinement, transform. It's different. On this particular discourse, the Rebbe is saying, we don't have to destroy the nations. Why? It's not the point. The psalm says something different. The psalm says, and this is only one, there are other psalms that say actually the same thing. They have to praise God. If you destroy them, they're not going to praise anything. Instead of being an impurity, a shell that opposes holiness, Nasu kemo klipa shishomer lepri chulei. Says etc. Interesting. They become like a shell that actually guards the fruit, etc. This is a very long, complex idea in Kabbalah. And if you see note 42, what is he quoting? Re'ei shaloi. Go look at the Shnei Luchos Abris, the book that I just told you before. Okay, and Mamshich, and so we have to transform the nations in a way that they should also praise God, to the point that in the Beis Hamikdash, in the temple, there were 70 bulls offered in the benefit of the 70 nations of the world. What for? To transform them, for them to praise God. Mamshich Bakosuf, and the verse continues, Ki govar aleinu chasdoi. Because God is like very strong upon us, he's talking about the Jews, he's God's kindness. And the famous question we actually mentioned in the previous class, how does it work? Like the non-Jews are praising God because God is very good with the Jews. It doesn't sound so simple. Why? I know that means the reason why the Jewish people can actually refine the non-Jews, the nations of the world, in a way that I put in the parentheses, but it's very clear, in a way that they should also praise God. Don't destroy, refine, to the point that they get to praise God. Why? Why can the Jews do that? It's because the kindness of God is very strong upon us. When? How does it work? Beyom HaKippurim. The whole Maimer is explaining why is Sukkot so related to the nations of the world? Because the Jewish people got for God, how do you say? They get the forgiveness of God in Yom Kippur, and now they can go and refine the non-Jews also. That's Chasdoi. That's the kindness of God upon us in a very strong way. We behave so badly, we means the Jews, behave so badly, we don't do what we have to do, etc., etc., and God forgives us. Oh, now, why did he forgive you? To go and change the world, to go and transform in a good way the non-Jews, so they should also pray God. Of course, I have to be honest with myself, it doesn't mean that this is the only reason why God, no, okay, that's true, it's not the only reason, but this is what the Maimon is saying. This is what this discourse is talking about. There are other discourses, yeah, of course, and nothing to do with non-Jews. But this discourse talks about this. In a way that God forgives us as we requested from him, as Moshe Rabbeinu requested in Parshas Kisis, etc. That then, because we got the pardon of God, whatever, then we can go and refine the nations of the world. because God forgave us, as explained in the fourth chapter. There's another explanation to this. So before going to the other explanation, how goes the simple reading of the verse? Hallelu es Hashem kol goyim. All the nations should praise God. Ki gover aleinu chasdei. Because now, after Yom Kippur, the God forgave the Jewish people, we can affect in a good way, transform the nations of the world, so they should praise God. Okay, that's explanation number one. Oit pirush baze, another explanation, through the refinement of the nations of the world, to the point that they praise God, look at these words, are amazing. There's a strength in the happiness and the pleasure in the Jewish people. Like through the Jewish people refining the nations of the world, we are happy. What is he talking about? Just like the example of a person that goes out of captivity. Then the happiness is very strong. The same way, through the refinement of the nations of the world, there's an incredible happiness, simcha gedoyle, incredible happiness in the Jewish people. And the Rebbe explains it in the verse, govar aleinu chasdei. That's what it means, that there's a strength of the kindness of God on us. What does that mean? We're happy. We're happy. And this happiness is projected throughout the whole year. So what's the second explanation? Second explanation of the verse is, Hallelujah Hashem kol goyim. All the nations of the world should actually praise God. Why? Because we refined them, and that generates that the kindness of God is upon us, and we're so happy about that. Because we actually accomplished that the nations of the world praise God also. And after the refinement of the nations of the world in Sukkos, through these levels, the whole thing explained in the Maimer, through the transcendent levels of 13 attributes of mercy, etc., in Yom Kippur, that get projected, this level of 13 attributes gets projected in the Sukkos. Nasis Aklita, he goes to the next step, so to speak, the end of Sukkos. Nasis Aklita bepnimius veshmini atzeres. Canal safe base. Then there's a internalization, so to speak, really inside, in shmini atzeres, in the end of Sukkos, as explained before. Veaz makrivim par echod ailechot. And then there's another story. The story changes completely. In shmini atzeres, there's only one bull offered, one ram offered, keneged Yisrael bilvat, and this has a relationship just with the Jewish people. Even if you want to tell me that Sukkos is related with the 70 nations because of all the things we explained, okay, but wait a second, Shmini Atzeres, no. Shmini Atzeres is the Jewish people. Kemashal ha-melech, she'im eloyavoy, bo'u negalgel aniva ata, this is also in the Midrash, like the example of a king that says to his beloved, let's go, you and me, and let's eat whatever they left, you and me. In a way that is for you only, and there's no strange together with you, just you and me, so to speak, God and Jewish people. This is the end of the Maimer. So in this discourse, it's very clear, in my humble opinion, what's the focus of the Rebbe, the attitude, so to speak, towards the nations of the world. The point over here is, don't destroy. The point over here is, don't reject. Refine. Go refine. And you have the strength for this, and the Rebbe says, through the whole year. And this is not only going to say, okay, I have to do what the Rebbe says. I don't like it. I don't want to talk to non-Jews. I have to go and do what the Rebbe says. No, this should produce simcha gedoyla. An amazing happiness through the whole year. It's an interesting mimer. And I think one of the most interesting things is 1966. It's typical, the Rebbe talking so many times about non-Jews, seven mitzvahs, Shiva mitzvahs, Bnei Noyach, and the seven commandments, and blah, 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 in the 80s, 83, 84, 85, in the 90s, okay, 91, 92, but in the 60s? No way. But this is a discourse in the 60s, 66. The Rebbe is saying clearly, what's the point? And this is based on previous discourses. It's not that the Rebbe came up with an idea nobody's talking about. No, no, no. It's based on previous ideas from other Rebbeim. And it's clear within the Chabad, so to speak, frame of mind, this is what we're supposed to be doing with the nations of the world.